The Environmental Defense Fund, they are forging solutions that let people and nature prosper. They've been around for quite a while. They operate globally and locally, and they've worked to make some monumental changes happen in the world, including getting DDT banned, that chemical, decades ago.
That's right, Tina.
Yeah, and you just heard Timothy O'Connor. He's the director of California Oil and Gas, which is part of the Environmental Defense Fund here in Los Angeles. And he's in charge of a lot. You've got a big job because you are working on clean energy solutions and the problems that we have with oil and gas. And then you are famous for exposing the problem at Aliso Canyon nationally. You used infrared and you shot video of this gas leak, and you were able to show the magnitude of this leak, what it looked like, and then the world knew.
Well, certainly, I think the 15,000 people of Porter Ranch that were affected by that gas leak were probably the soldiers that ensured that people were aware of the really big personal impacts. But we were able to get some infrared footage and get that out there on the national stage. And once we saw people starting to become aware of that, I mean, the issue really just caught fire. And we saw internationally this issue here in California reach a level really that we thought it deserved from day one.
And it's been about a year now since the gas leak happened, October 23rd.
Yeah, October 23rd of 2015, there was a well blowout at that facility in the northern LA basin, and released over about 112 days, almost 100,000 tons of methane into the air, equivalent to burning about 900 million gallons of gasoline. Just a phenomenal amount of pollution.
That is a heck of an analogy. 900 million gallons of gasoline burning. That gives you a mental picture of the scope, the size of this giant gas leak. And initially in the Porter Ranch area, people were feeling sick. They didn't know what was going on. They thought it could be a leak at a neighbor's house, a gas leak there in the neighborhood. So they were complaining, hey, you know, there's a gas leak in someone's house. We smell this. And when it was investigated, they realized it's not actually just a gas leak in someone's house. It's a catastrophe. And still, you know, it wasn't talked about nationally. So it's pretty amazing that you had the idea to go ahead and capture this. You have a lot of experience working with oil and gas companies, and you knew this was happening. And so walk us through that.
Well, methane gas, which is the principal component of natural gas, is invisible to the naked eye. And we knew that if we could make it visible to people, which is what you can do with this new technology, that it would become more evident of what was actually happening on that hill. So when we got an infrared camera and an airplane and we flew around the facility, I mean, it looked like a volcano of pollution going into the air. And once the folks from the Washington Post and others saw it, it was only just a matter of moments before it went up online and got millions of views on YouTube practically overnight. The interesting thing, though, is, of course, this is one facility of 13 in California and one of about 400 in the United States. And these types of accidents, they've happened time and time again. When they blow up, sometimes they kill people. Unfortunately, fortunately, we didn't have that happen here, but this was probably the longest single leak of methane in U.S. or world history from a storage field. And of course, the impacts to the community were just quite disastrous.
Absolutely. What's the long-term impact of this leak?
Well, when you breathe natural gas and the odorant that they put into it, it has some very short-term impacts like nosebleeds and headaches, and people really get impacted in their homes for that. The long-term impacts, of course, when you look at how much climate pollution went into the air, that's something that we're going to be feeling for a very long time. And the emotional distress, the fact that so many people, children, were kicked out of their houses practically after Thanksgiving, Christmas, into the new year, past Valentine's Day. I mean, it's hard to recover from something like that. And we know that people are going to be experiencing long-term consequences for many, many years.
They were displaced. You know, all of a sudden, you can't live in your home. They're back now, right? Everyone is back?
I believe most of the people have returned back to the community. I know some people decided not to return because they felt that they just didn't want to live next to that type of facility. But when you have your baby, and I have two kids, and if I saw my two-year-old getting nosebleeds, I don't know that I'd want to move back next to that facility.
You wouldn't want to go back into the area. What if it happened again? And it took them a while to find a solution to get that leak capped.
We know that the state and the federal government and the company brought in world-renowned experts to try to fix this. And it took, you know, millions of dollars and many, many days to get this thing capped, more than anybody thought was going to be necessary. And it speaks to the size and complexity of the problem up there. But the important thing to know, of course, is while this is one gigantic leak, there are hundreds of thousands of other small leaks that happen under our streets and our neighborhoods every single day from the natural gas infrastructure. And we know the utilities actually don't have to cap many of those. And so we're working on some new rules, both to fix the problems at gas storage fields like Aliso Canyon, but also for the other pipes that run under our streets, for the oil wells that are in our neighborhoods and across Los Angeles and Southern California and really across the nation.
Are we dependent on natural gas here in California or Southern California?
Certainly, with natural gas providing nearly 40% of the electricity that we generate here in California and a massive amount of our home heating needs, we are certainly dependent on natural gas. And as we've seen, we're actually quite over-dependent because with Aliso Canyon being shut down, the concerns of blackouts and other shortages of gas really means that we need to diversify our mix away from gas so that we can be more confident that we're going to have a reliable energy system.
So what we've learned from this is there needs to be regulation or more safety procedures implemented. What can we do to stop a leak like this from happening again?
I think top to bottom, we need to reevaluate the role of natural gas in our society. Not only do we need to get new rules out there, like the California Air Resources Board is working on some new rules to make sure that pipes and pieces of equipment, they don't leak gas. And we know that the Department of Oil and Gas is working on some new rules to make sure that gas wells, like the stuff at Aliso Canyon, they don't break and then release gas into the air. But then we also need to look at how reliant we are on it as a fuel source. And the Public Utilities Commission and others are looking at that right now. And these are all areas where groups like Environmental Defense Fund and the public at large need to be really active to hold our regulators' feet to the fire and to hold folks like the gas company accountable for the pollution they put into air from accidents like Aliso Canyon.
You said something about you had some things planned now coming out of the Aliso Canyon leak.
Well, absolutely. When the one-year anniversary comes around, which is on October 23rd of 2016, I think people should be aware of how much the state has done, but really how much also needs to be done, and really understand where they can make a difference. And so we know that, for example, the city of Los Angeles just passed a resolution saying the local utility here should look to move towards getting 100% of the energy that we deliver to our customers from renewable sources, not from things like natural gas or from coal, but from things like solar and wind. And getting people to participate in those proceedings are going to be tremendously important for reducing our reliance on things like Aliso Canyon. And so we're going to be providing a whole suite of resources for people from the public who care about this issue, who were not only just affected by the Aliso Canyon event, but from oil and gas pollution and from climate change, so that they can take part in this effort to move California forward and to get us off of our reliance on natural gas, but also get some better approaches to managing that infrastructure.
Where can we see the video at, your video?
Well, you could find the video on our website, EDF, like environmentaldefensefund.org. Or you can even just Google Aliso Canyon and look at the images and video section, and you'll see the infrared footage of this gigantic volcano of pollution coming out of that gas field.
Right, something that you can't see. You're walking around and it's hovering all around you, and it's there and you don't know it except that you feel sick. And can you smell it?
You can smell natural gas because they put odorant in it, but just when it's methane by itself, it is actually odorless and colorless, which is a lot of the reason why, as we have oil and gas wells and fields across California and across Los Angeles, much of that methane pollution really goes unknown until it contributes to local air quality problems and climate change. And now, as we've seen by multiple days of 100-degree heat here in late September, the climate crisis is upon us. And in fact, the scientists show that about 25% of the man-made temperature increases are from methane, are from things like what was released from Aliso Canyon. It just goes to show the impacts from these are happening on society now, and we need to get moving to stop them because that is one of the fastest things we can do to fight the deleterious impacts of climate change.
Yeah, that's true. We have had quite a heat wave, and things that are happening around us are responsible for climate change. Sempra is the head of SoCal Gas, right? Southern California Gas Company.
Right.
Yeah.
Sempra Energy Utilities is the owner, actually, of the Southern California Gas Company and also of San Diego Gas and Electric, and some utilities in other states and nations. And, you know, we know that Sempra as a corporation like many other utilities, they care about climate change. And we know that, you know, they want to be a part of this solution. Unfortunately, what we've seen is when we leave the management of these facilities up to them, to voluntary practices, like other oil and gas operations across the United States, problems happen, which is why we need strong regulations and why it's so important that these actions like that on the part of the Los Angeles City Council to recently move forward with an effort to get 100% of our energy in LA from things like solar and wind, why it's just so important. Because we need actions by the companies, but we also need strong regulations and leadership on the part of the government to make sure that those actions become reality and that we have a holistic approach to fighting this issue of climate change.
Energy diversification is good. That's what we want to have in the future, right? Not dependent on one source.
That's right. Uh-huh. We certainly, you know, like dessert, it tastes great, mm-hmm. but you can't have all of any one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need a diversified energy mix. And even in the energy mix, we know that natural gas is going to be there for many, many years to come. It provides a useful resource. We have billions upon billions of dollars of infrastructure that's been invested. But we also need to be moving towards better batteries, more electric vehicles, more things like solar and wind that can create a system where we're able to balance the energy, the electricity, in a way that reduces our over-reliance on any one fuel source.
Okay, so what's the website for EDF? And locally, is it different?
It's www.edf.org. And if you want to learn about our work on methane and how it impacts climate change, go to edf.org/methane.
Thank you for joining us today and for being brave and putting that video, posting that video showing the infrared of the gas leak in Aliso Canyon and really exposing it for what it was.
I think that the heroes of all this are the people of Porter Ranch that really stood up and continued to make their presence known and their impacts felt. And I'd like to think we did our small part in helping to elevate this issue. I was just happy because I think in this one, I feel like I made a real difference.
Timothy O'Connor, Director of California Oil and Gas and part of the Environmental Defense Fund. And he was instrumental in bringing the giant gas leak at Southern California Gas Company's Aliso Canyon storage facility into the national spotlight.